I feel like I'm in a Lulac convention. Let me just say that it is indeed an honor to be here tonight. And I want to thank each and every one of you all for being here today. You know, I've always said that it takes not one person, it takes all of us together. Like the motto that Lulac has, one for all and all for one. And that is so true. I'm going to begin, I'm supposed to speak on don't agonize, organize, and mobilize. So to begin that, what I'd like to do is just speak a little bit about my background and how I became involved in Lulac and also in the labor movement. And then, of course, I'm going to brag about Lulac and all its accomplishments and how we are here today. I was born and raised in San Antonio, Texas. Born to a very humble family that I never knew was poor till I was 18 years old. My father did such a fantastic job that until I saw a check stub when I turned 18 that I said, oh my God, is this all this man makes? He did such a fantastic job. He was a laborer all his life, but he made sure that we had every needs, that we were six girls in the family and my mother. I remember as a child that I always said it was in me because looking back, how did I become an activist? Well, my mother and my father were involved in what you call La Unión Fraternal Latinoamericana. For those that don't know, those were mutual aid societies that were founded in the 30s and the 40s. And basically, it was to unite the Latinos together as a survival tactic. They used to help you with your funeral. They used to have celebrations. And as a child, I remember going, almost every Monday they had a meeting. And then they had celebrations. And my mother was the president of festejos. If we know what that is, she was the president of fundraising for 25 years. My father was, of course, the president of La Unión Fraternal Latinoamericana for 25 years. So having said that, you know, you can see where my life was very much community involvement through my parents. As we grew up, we used to have Thanksgiving dinners, Christmas parties, and we were always giving candy and fruits and toys to the less unfortunate, say, in El Barrio. I remember because I always thought I was so rich, but I was poor too. But anyway, that's the way it began. Then, of course, in my family, one of the things that you do is you have to finish high school, because my parents were very adamant about it, but finish high school, and then, of course, you either get married or go to work. That probably tells you my age. But anyway, as I graduated, I remember, and I'll never forget, I had my advisor come up to me, and she said, Rosa, you got a good point average. Would you like to go to college? Rosa said, no. And my advisor walked away. See, I had an A average, A minus average. I was, the 12th in 300 class. So I could have gotten a scholarship, but Rosa just said no, and nobody, you know, that was it. So then, of course, as I go on, I get married. I went to work, and then I got married, had three kids. And I married a beautiful man, which you already met, my husband, Rodolfo Rosales, who, by the way, only had 6 hours of college when we got married. He worked full-time and went to college all this time. But he remember one day he told me he already had he got a degree from, I believe, was St. Mary's University, and then he got a master's from St. Mary's, and then he got another master's from Trinity. And then one day he comes home and he says, Rosa, how about us going to Ann Arbor, Michigan? I'm going to apply for a Ford Fellowship. And I said, go ahead, not thinking we would ever leave. And sure enough, one day he comes, and there he is telling me, pack your bags, we're leaving. I said, what? We're leaving. Well, believe it or not, I cried. I cried, and I cried, and I cried, because I did not want to leave San Antonio. I did not want to leave my sisters and my family. We Latinos have that extended family, you know. And so he said, it's a done deal, Rosa. We've got to go. So we left. And by the way, as I cried all the way, and I cried the whole year, because I was already, would you believe this, that I was, let me see, at that time I was 29, had three kids, a one-year-old, a five-year-old, and a three-year-old. And it was, my husband had said, you need to go to college, Rosa. And the biggest fear to me was the fear of failing. I had just gotten out of high school, taking the minimum to get a high school degree. And he said, you got to go. And lo and behold, I went to school. I was accepted to the University of Michigan. And that, my whole world turned around. I used to be a very timid and shy person. People don't believe that, but sometimes my timid and shyness comes out. And not seeing too many brown faces at the University of Michigan during those years, 1973, I would actually walk up and talk to them and say, hey, how are you? Who are you? What is your name? You know, I'm from San Antonio, wanting to talk to more brown faces around here. But then I got involved in many of the organizations, and that's why organizations are so important. I got involved with the Chicano law students, and we would go to the prisons and have the ladies in the prison show them how to get their GEDs, celebraciones Cinco de Mayo, 16 de Septiembre. And then, lo and behold, we got some information that there was this woman's department that had a lot of money, but not a single penny was going to minority women. So this is once again why it takes organizations. We formed an organization, that we call the Third World Minority Woman Caucus. And we had a professor, a Native American professor, that gave us all that information. So what do? We knock. Here's little Rosita knocking on the door, but of course all those other ladies too. The doors were open, and once the president, can you imagine the president seeing the information? He knew we had it, and he opened the doors, and money started floating to minority women to return back to college. See, all of this gave me a lot of energy and said, oh, si se puede. So when I returned to San Antonio was more beautiful than ever. Hotels and motels, Riverwalk, everything was so beautiful, with one exception. When you saw the Latinos, we were still very much a pool of cheap labor. And that's what led me to become interested, and we started organizing an independent movement to represent public employees. And the rest, we affiliated to AFL-CIO, and then, for some reason or other, they took the organization, gave it to another union, and that's another story for another day. But I started my own organization, and I'm very proud to say that I am the founder and the director of the United Public Employees Association, National Association of Public Employees. And I'm very proud to say that I have my sons working with me, and we're doing a fantastic job. We represent 11 entities, public entities, in the city of San Antonio. And when people said, no se puede, I said, sí se puede. Because all it takes is a lot of commitment and dedication and having a passion. I've always said that for workers, as well as for Latinos and for the community, we're never here to ask for special favors. Only what is just and right. And that we be treated with respect and dignity. And that's another story that I could go on. Sometimes I say I can tell you all those stories of how we organized. It was three women with a hat, by the way, and a man. And we became known as the Hatted Ladies. When I got back in the summer of 73, I met a young lady who also wore a hat, and her name was Angie Garcia. And remember that I had come in with a lot of energy, ready to fight the world of injustice anywhere. And she said, Rosa, I want you to join LULAC. I said, LULAC? Ah, LULAC is a social club organization. And she says, no, Rosa, an organization is what you make of it. And sure enough, she was right. The membership is the organization. And so then I started myself as a president, and I remember District 15 never had a woman district director. It's always controlled by men. And so that's where organization comes in again. We knew what we had to do. It was a very conservative district also. So we organized, and we organized. And by the time we got to the district convention, election time came, we had the numbers. And even though I had about 3 or 4 men running against me in District 15, when the elections came, I won hands down. Why? Because we had organized and we had delivered the vote. That is why it's so important. I always say, organize, organize, organize. Together and be well informed. So I got to be district director. And one of the reasons I ran was because one of the male members, which is an old good friend of mine now, said, Rosa's running? She cannot run. She's a loose cannon. By the way, I didn't even know what a loose cannon meant. But the more people tell me you cannot do it, the more I feel that you can do it. You just make up your mind to do it. And so the rest was history. I won. And then I remember then as a state director, and by the way, I was a second state director. Let's correct it. Lolita Guerrero was the first one. I was the second woman there. And I remember that when the campaign started, you know, we were always supporting, of course, our male partners here. And I remember that I was supporting San Jose Garcia from San Antonio. And I don't know how it happened, but we had a little falling out, you might say. And I was the district director, and I was the one pushing him, and I was the one going to the meetings and talking for him and all this. So I remember one day I said to my friend Angie, I'm running. She says, you're running? Yes, I'm running. And once again, what we did in Waco, Texas, from San Antonio, and of course you have to network all over, but the ball came from San Antonio. In came the vans. And what do you think was in the vans? Votes. And once again, I was made the state director. And I was there for 4 years, I'm very proud to say. And I went on to be Southwest VP, VP for Women, all titles. But let me tell you, to reach to the top of the presidency took organization. This is the third time that I've run for national president. And every time I lost very close elections. But I never gave up. There were people that said, Rosa's washed up. You know, she already ran twice. She didn't make it. But believe me, when we got to Milwaukee, once again, it was organization. Organization, we had buses coming from here and there and everywhere. And even though we were 3 candidates, there wasn't a runoff. Because by the time the middle vote was coming in, I had already won without a runoff. But once again, it's very important that you do your homework. You know, I'm accused sometimes that, oh, Rosa, here Rosa comes with her buses. Well, I learned from the men. You know, I remember, and I remember very clearly, you know, how did I learn that you take the votes into buses? I remember the convention in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the one in California, you name it. The buses are coming, the buses are coming. So Rosa learned very well. And the buses came and we won. But let me talk a little bit about the organization, which I love with a passion. You know, one of the things about LULAC was founded in 1929 and actually was 3 organizations coming together. Why 3 organizations and why did they unite? Because there's more power in coming together. So 3 organizations decided. There was Corpus Christi, San Antonio, and the Valley. And they held the first convention in 1929. And since then, it was founded to better the lives of the Latino community. Because in those times, let us say that you've heard no dogs allowed. Well, there was no Mexicans allowed. We not only had, we couldn't even use the same swimming pools, but also we weren't even served in restaurants. You had to go through the back door of anything. You know, swimming pools, restaurants. And segregations of our schools was also. The quality of education that LULAC has always championed was not there for Latinos or blacks. And I'd be very proud to say that there were several lawsuits. You know, Del Rio versus Salvatierra was one of them. You know, the one with versus Topeka, a school board of education, the Mendez case in California. Those were milestones in LULAC where we filed a lawsuit. Why? Because we wanted equal education, no segregation. And also the latest, many, many lawsuits that have been filed. We first tried to mediate and resolve things. But if not, you know, well, we're ready to litigate, like our past national president always said. And through the years, you know, LULAC has been there fighting for the those that don't have that voice. Those there's still a lot of discrimination on the job. We've come a long ways. I cannot say we have not. But there's still a lot of disparity. And that is one of the reasons that this organization has survived in addressing the needs of those that need someone to speak for them. And remember that when we talk about organizations, it is not one person. It is not Rosa. It is the whole membership. LULAC would not be as great as it is if it weren't for the locals, councils that do the grassroots organizing, that reach out to everybody. And that is why LULAC, to me, has survived 77 years and will survive another 100 years or more. It's because you have committed and dedicated employees, workers, members that will go out and do the work as volunteers. As an organization, we actually have to pay dues to be able to volunteer. It is very important to know that LULAC, you know, has opened many doors because of each and every one of our members and each and every one of the community, because LULAC could not have done it alone if we had not had community support. So it's very important to know that when we talk about, let's not agonize here, let us organize. But when we do organize, we have to do a good job on it. You know, we have to reach out to our communities. You know, one of the things that helped makes us be so great is that LULAC has reached out without asking for a penny from anyone. We will get some experts to help us if we don't know how to do it, but it's always been on a volunteer basis. You know, like many people also tell me, hey, Rosa, you got a good paying job now. I said, no, I just got more work, you know, as the number one, the top of the organization, you know. I'm very proud to say, though, that for many years I set my goals to become the president. And it was a lot of perseverance, a lot of patience, and what it took was organization. And so when we organize, we also have to realize that it takes all of us together. One of the things that's very important also is getting out that vote. You know, LULAC, I think is our latest lawsuit was in redistricting, that we wanted to make sure that the minority vote was not diluted. And even though we might not have won the whole enchilada there, it certainly has made a difference in opening a district. And that's what it's all about, giving people that opportunity, that opportunity. And what I'm telling you right now is we have the, I get tired of saying that we're in a state of alarm in education. Latinos have the highest dropout rate in the nation. They have the highest illiteracy rate in the nation. We have the highest attrition rate first-year college. And what I would like to do and ask everyone to support this is come out with plans of actions. We know where we're at. We've had enough educational summits to know the problem. But what are we going to do about it? Let's stop talking about it. And that's one of the things that I would like to do. And To me, education is top priority. You know, as we become the number one minority, we have to be prepared. And how are we going to be prepared if we don't have an educated population? So education becomes very important. Very, very important. And when we fund programs, we need to make sure, or we want programs, that they're funded. But it takes us together. One of the things that I strongly believe in LULAC is the fact that we can go out and seek those fundings. We just need the help of everyone. We know the problem, and we need to make that difference in the community like we've always had. Another issue that is top priority for me is representation of minorities in all top-level decision-making positions. That is so much needed. We need to see those brown faces at the top level. We need to see minorities out there, because that's the way we're going to make a difference. How can we make a difference if we're not considered at the top level positions? And the time has come that they cannot say we don't have qualified applicants, because we have them. And LULAC is here to help. I want to start a directory to where we can channel all those applications, all those qualified Latinos and minorities that can fill those jobs. I want to see a world where there is parity. I want to see a world that we can eradicate discrimination. And the only way we're going to do it is through organization. You saw the marches. Oh, some people say, oh, that was negative. I think it was positive. I think it was positive. I think it showed the power of the Latinos. It showed that we can do it. Now what we have to do is channel that into voting. How do we get these people to voting? And that's the big challenge that we have. For years and years and years, they've said Latinos do not vote. And I want to make that the biggest lie of the century. But we have to organize. We cannot just say, go out to vote. We have to have a plan of action. And I do have a plan of action where we can get every vote that is possible out there to the polls. And then we can make a difference. I have a dream that whenever a politician is running and has not addressed the Latino agenda, then they're going to be shaking in their boots because they're going to lose at the polls. But that is the power. That is the power of the vote. And I think that we can do it, but through organization. Have plans of actions. How are we going to do it? We need to go back to precinct politics. We need to go back to grassroots organizing. Because if we don't do that, we have no right to complain. Immigration issue is another issue. You know, building walls or criminalizing immigrants is not the way to go. We knocked the Berlin Wall down. Why are we building walls again? This country was born of immigrants. And we need to know, the public needs to know, all the positives of the immigrants have contributed to this great country. Billions of dollars to the economy of the United States. And on and on and on. And that's one of the things that I want to make sure that everyone knows all the positive. That there is a win-win situation for all of us. That we're all human beings. And the only way we can make a difference is when we treat each other as human beings. There's too many things to be done. LULAC is an organization that I've used to address the issues in the community. And I ask each and every one of you, if you don't belong to LULAC, join LULAC. If you don't want to join LULAC, form an organization, Because it's a world of a difference when you go by yourself to speak than when you have an organization backing you up. That has made a difference. And I cannot say that every time that you speak up, they'll pay attention. But more than ever, they will. I know sometimes I'll call, they call me with a problem, and I'll get on the phone and I say, you know, what's happening over here? You cut the air conditions to this elderly people, and it says, who are you? I say, oh, I'm with LULAC. And sometimes they'll do it right away, or sometimes we don't give a hoot who you are. Well, then I have to write it up. But it does make a difference to belong to an organization. So when we say, let us not sit and say, what am I going to do? What we need to do is organize ourselves. If not LULAC, organize yourselves or belong to some organization, because it is to a group of people that we can and we will make a difference. And organizations and coalescing together, you know, we have working real close with the NAACP, and we're working very close with many other organizations, because it's going to take all of us. In this world that we live today, we can make it a much better world for everyone. But when we say that, we also need to be part of that world to make a difference. So let us just say that, let us not agonize no more. Let us organize, organize, and organize. There's never enough organization. There's never enough to help out in your community. And then the next thing is, get out that vote, because your vote does count. Your vote does count. And that's the only thing that I have right now, that how do we get everyone out to vote? How do we do that? I say that we have to have an issue. We have to get somebody excited. Because, you know, I went to see, well, LULAC did, we went to see Senator Reed. And I always like to say, because he said, I want to ask you something. I want to ask LULAC something. He says, why are you all not making more noise? All the things that are happening to you, and you're just not making that noise. And he is so right. Let us make that noise in a positive way. Let us do our research and continue to organize and mobilize for a better world. Thank you very much. Thank you. By the way, I forgot to young kids that are leaving, young adults here. LULAC wants to form as many LULAC young councils, young adult councils, because some of us are getting into our golden years, and we want to make sure this organization is here for many, many more years. So, you know, I just heard a young adult council organizing from here. Hey, that is a great, and I want to see that in every college campus and everywhere that we organize our young adults, because those are the ones that are going to take over LULAC as we go into our golden years. Question?
Speaking of golden years, there has been some medical research indicating that Latinos are suffering an inordinate amount of obesity and diabetes, coupled with the fact that the healthcare system in this country, particularly in Texas, is not very friendly to Latinos. What will LULAC do to address the healthcare issues of Latinos?
What LULAC is doing right now, we have a health commission that is working with some pharmaceutical companies to ensure that, you know, there's some free drugs coming out, to ensure also for legislation to where we have, you know, medicines that do not run your budget over, where senior citizens have to decide whether to eat or buy their medicines. That's what it's saying. The mobilization, when I say get out the vote, is we need to put representatives and support, you know, congressmen and senators that will go for reform in the medicine and the insurance, health insurance, because you're right, Latinos are the number one that don't have insurance in this country. And definitely diabetes and heart failure and high blood pressure are the top of our agenda with that commission in health. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
going to do to take over the Head Start program? That is the key for dropout prevention, I believe. And then also, what are you going to do to put funds for the kids in college who need some retention money so they can stay there and finish their degrees instead of struggling and trying to get a part-time job and go to school, which is real hard for them?
Absolutely. And I forgot to say that the school, Head Start, you know, LULAC is the one that started Head Start with a school of 400, you know. So what am I going to do? Once again, you know, when you have your representatives that are cutting monies instead of putting monies into education, and when you have the deregulation of tuition, which is now skyrocketing, it's going to become very hard for any of our kids to go to college. That's where it is. We need to put sensitive people in the places. The decisions are being made that affect the education of our children, and Head Start is one of the things that we need to bring back full funded. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to know about the DREAM Act. I understand the DREAM Act was very close to getting passed recently, and then it got put in the back burner with the Immigration Reform Act. I think the DREAM Act is one of the most important things. You talked about education being very important. I agree. And being an educator myself, I think that that's one of the biggest things. That we have a lot of students that want to become go college student bound, but yet they can't for whatever reason. The DREAM Act was a great policy that I think would have addressed that, and now it's been put back in the burner. We got kids that are able to go to college or want to go to college but are not able to, and then there are kids that don't want to go to college, but... So there's money there, we're just not getting it. We need to find a way.
Absolutely. LULAC has always supported the DREAM Act. And once again, we're going to have some representatives that bring it up to the top burner here. And that's what I'm saying. Voting is very important, because if you don't get those representatives, they're going to support our kids, the DREAM Act, and fully funded, and the college tuition. All of those things are being cut back. So it's very important that when we vote, you see what is the record of people running and get the commitment. I know LULAC is throwing a challenge to all the candidates and saying, what are you going to do about the health insurance? What are you going to do about the children's education? And that's the way it's got to be. I encourage each and every one of you to have public forums, wherever you're from, and bring in those candidates. Do an accountability night, okay? Where this is your voting record, what are you going to do? It has to be done before, not after. It's important to put people that are sensitive, like I said, regardless of your race, color, or creed, let us treat people as human beings. Any other question? No? Okay, thank you very much.